So I'll read text 22. Lord Chaitanya knew about the disappearance of Lakshmi Devi because he is the super soul himself. Thus he returned home to solace his mother, Sachi Devi, who was greatly unhappy about the death of her daughter-in-law. And today's verse, translation. When the Lord returned home, bringing with him great wealth and many followers, he spoke to Sachi Devi about transcendental knowledge to relieve her of the grief she was suffering. Purport. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namoyate. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, similarly the soul passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. 2.13. Such verses from the Bhagavad Gita and any other Vedic literature give valuable instructions on the occasion of someone's passing away. By discussing such instructions from the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, a sober man can certainly understand that the soul never dies. It passes from one body to another. This is called transmigration of the soul. A soul comes into this material world and creates bodily relationships with a father, a mother, sisters, brothers, a wife and children. But all these relationships pertain to the body, not to the soul. Therefore, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, dhiras tatra namuyate, one who is sober is not disturbed by such phenomenal changes within this material world. Such instructions are called tattva katha, or real truth. Translation. When the Lord returned home, bringing with him great wealth and many followers, he spoke to Sachi Devi about transcendental knowledge to relieve her of the grief she was suffering. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Preme Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauritvise Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, there seems to be some sort of contradiction and at the same time a correlation from the bhajan that we've just sung from Narottam Das Thakur, where he says in the last verse, being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga and all of his devotees, Narottam Das Thakur simply weeps. So there's lamentation, there's grief. And here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is comforting his mother with transcendental knowledge, is removing her lamentation through transcendental knowledge, having lost her daughter-in-law or his first wife, Lakshmi Priya. I wanted to discuss today five personalities, comments, and conversations on deaths that they experience, followed by an experience that I had myself, and then hopefully that can further our insight in how we can deal with death as Vaishnavas. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, translated by Sarvabhauma Prabhu, in the chapter that describes the passing away of Lakshmi Devi by the snake bite of separation, so Mahaprabhu had gone to East Bengal, there he was doing his preaching work, enthused with having taken initiation, and he was really starting the Sankirtan movement now, getting ready for taking sannyas in the years to come. But the mood was there of renouncing everything and really going full throttle into the Sankirtan preaching. And at that time, so he had married Lakshmi Priya, who is also Lakshmi Devi, and he had gone to East Bengal, and there he had that discussion with Tapan Mishra, as you've just recently been following in class. So the first verse that we read, being seated in the heart as a super soul within every living entity, he could understand not only that Lakshmi Priya had left back to Vaikuntha, having taken shelter, left the body at the Ganges, but also he could feel the pain that Sachimata, his beloved mother, was feeling. So then he decided to depart back to Navadvip. And there's a nice description here in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that I wanted to read. So Lord Chaitanya's come into the house and he could see that everyone is deeply affected by Lakshmi Priya's death. And then he says, "Mother, I know everything. Tell me, has your daughter-in-law met with misfortune?" Some relative stepped forward to speak. "Listen, Nimai, your wife has left for the Ganga and reached the lotus feet of Lord Narayan." The Supreme Lord, Sri Gaurasundar, remained silent, casting his head down as he contemplated the departure of his eternal consort and wife, Sri Lakshmi Devi. He allowed the pain of separation to engulf him. And although he was the personification of all Vedic truth, he remained silent. Like any ordinary human being, he displayed the emotions of deep sorrow. But after controlling himself, he spoke, "By bodily attachment, one is regarded as a husband or son. These illusory relationships are caused by misunderstandings. O mother, why do you feel sad? How can you hope to change that which has been ordained by the Lord's desire? No one can check the passage of time, and all relationships in this world are temporary. This is the verdict of the Vedas. The activities of the entire cosmic creation rest in the hands of the Supreme Lord. Who but our Lord can bring people together and then separate them? Why should these arrangements of the Supreme Lord make you so unhappy? It is fortunate for the wife if she can leave before her husband. This is proof that she is the most pious woman." The Lord tried to console his mother by these philosophical truths, and everyone felt the veil of sadness dissipate by the soothing words of the Supreme Lord. In this way, the Lord of Vaikuntha, Sri Gaurahari, performed wonderful pastimes in the mood of a scholar. So very nice here how Vrindavan Das Thakur, and then translated by Sarvabhauma Prabhu, how he's sharing that conversation between son and mother in relationship to the departed wife. And it correlates exactly with Krishna's instructions to Arjuna, how it's only a sober person through transcendental knowledge that are able to relieve someone of that grievance of losing somebody, of bringing somebody to the remembrance, if not the realization. Obviously, Sachimata, being a pure devotee, she knew. But in the pastime, she was absorbed in the paternal feelings of a mother and a mother-in-law. And to demonstrate to us, the pastime unfolds how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then has to use transcendental knowledge to break through what seemed to be ignorance, that Mother Sachimata was dissipated with this, drowned by this sorrow of losing her daughter-in-law. Because Lord Chaitanya Nimai was traveling a lot and she was left alone, and her daughter-in-law was doing all the nice seva in the house and looking after her. And now losing that, she was feeling she'd lost Vishwarup. Now she's lost the wife, the daughter-in-law, and she's feeling imminent departure of her son, Vishrambha. So she's feeling that sadness. So I was once asked by Nilamada Prabhu to go to a death program, as we call it, where we devotees have to go to families where somebody's departed. And the advice is always given, 2:13, the Hinosminyata Dehe, talk about how the soul has left the body. And who is amazing and remarkable is the personality, the individual within the body. and the body is just a temporary external covering. And it helps, but at the same time, the advice given to me by Nila Mataprabhu, who does this for many years, was that mainly to comfort them. And Lord Chaitanya is doing that himself. He allowed the pain of separation to engulf him, and he remained silent like any ordinary human being. He displayed the emotions of deep sorrow. So in our preaching work, it's not about just giving the information. It's also about being personal to the people that we're dealing with. And that really goes a long way. Because once they feel that you care for them, then they'll listen to what you're saying. And then they'll allow the transcendental knowledge to go in. Parikshit Maharaj only was able to fully assimilate and imbibe the teachings from Shukadeva Goswami because he really wanted to hear. But to get somebody to the level of wanting to hear, sorry, I'm short. That not that short. Thanks. So, this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example of how he dealt with death and how he comforted somebody. Then there's a great Macedonian king, King Alexander, who at the time, he had conquered many empires and many countries, accumulated a lot of wealth, and as the verse here says, Mahaprabhu came back from East Bengal with many followers and much wealth. So similarly, King Alexander had so much wealth and followers. But after conquering the world as such and creating his empire, he picked up a disease. And he knew that he wasn't going to last much longer. So he wanted to go and say bye to his mother and see his mother's face, whom he loved so much. But he couldn't reach home. So there in the barren land he laid, and he called his generals and he said, "Generals, I ask you 3 final wishes." And they said, "Sure." And the three requests he had were, number 1, is I want my physicians, my doctors, to carry my coffin. Number 2, I want the pathway to my graveyard decorated with all my gold, jewelry, silver that I've collected in my riches and treasures. And number 3 is, in my coffin, I want my hands to be hanging outside of the coffin. So all the generals were like nodding their head as you do to your master. But then one general just couldn't understand what these funny requests were at the time of, you know, his final words. They would have assumed it would have been how to divide the treasures, the land, how to rule the kingdom, so many practical, logistical things. One of his favorite generals touched his heart with his hand and said, "My master, we will obey your orders, but could you please kindly explain why these 3 particular requests?" And he said, "I want the world to learn from these 3 lessons." Number 1, excuse me. Number 1, I want my doctors to carry my coffin because I want the world to learn that there's no doctor in the world that can save us from the hand of death. Doctors may delay death, but ultimately they cannot stop death. Number 2, I want the pathway to my graveyard decorated with gold, silver, and jewels for my treasury. Because I can't take 1 dime with me. So we can spend our whole life, Steve Jobs also said, he accumulated so much wealth, he didn't know what to do with it. But you can't take 1 dime with it. The only thing you can take with you to your next life is the memories of love. So he wanted the world to learn that all of this wealth accumulation is of no value. And number 3, I want my hands dangling out of my coffin because I want the world to see that I came to this world with nothing and I'm leaving this world with nothing, empty-handed. And so although King Alexandra isn't a Vedic example, everything comes from the Vedas. So the lessons that were coming from his heart and his consciousness were in line with showing that everything to do with the body, as Srila Prabhupada says here, a soul comes into the material world and creates bodily relationships, but all these relationships pertain to the body, not the soul. So all this wealth, relationships, prestige, followers, all of this just deals with the external, and all of it is temporary and leaves at the time of death, if not beforehand. And it's interesting, the words dhana and jhana also repeat themselves in the verse after the fourth verse of Shikshastakam. Here Mahaprabhu's come from East Bengal with wealth and followers, but then his ultimate prayer to Sri Krishna is that I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want prestige. It's interesting how things come in a circle, how he accumulated these things to renounce them, how Krishna also in his pastimes accumulates so many things but then could renounce them. And so similarly, we can learn from King Alexander's example and lessons that everything that we're working, endeavoring so hard for is temporary, and how at the time of death he instructed his generals and soldiers and mankind for future about the temporality of the acquisitions of the body. Then there was a nice event happening at Srivasangam, the house of Srivas Thakur, where Srivasangam is the same as Rasastali in Sri Vrindavan Dham, where the highest exchange of loving exchanges happen in Vrindavan between Radha and Krishna and the Rasalila, and in Sri Dham Mayapur in Srivasangam doing the nocturnal or the all-night kirtans. So one night the devotees in Srivasangam were having ecstatic kirtan performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then at that time, Srivas Thakur, the householder, he heard some crying in the inner chambers of the house, which is where the women normally would be with the family. So he went there and he told the women, shh, shh, don't disturb Mahaprabhu's dancing. And he was glorifying the extraordinary potency of Gaur Nataraj, the most beautiful dancer. And then he inquired, why are all you ladies crying? Why would you disturb the Supreme Lord's ecstasy? And then they explained that his son left his body. And being fully sober, fully absorbed with transcendental knowledge and realization, he was not affected for a second. And he explained to the women that it is his great fortune to leave his body, for the soul to leave the body in the association of all these pure devotees and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Prem Sankirtan. And he tried to reason the ladies and explain, you should be quiet now and don't disturb Mahaprabhu's kirtan. And Srivas Thakur, the ladies got pacified through the transcendental knowledge, as is being described here with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his mother. And he goes back into the other chamber where the kirtan was going on. They carry on the kirtan, and then Mahaprabhu in the morning when the kirtan finishes asks Srivas, today I didn't feel the same level of ecstasy. It feels like some misfortune has come into the house. Can you please explain what is going on? Srivas explains to Mahaprabhu, how can there be any misfortune when you are doing kirtan? It's only after some time the devotees in the house then explain to Mahaprabhu what had happened. Mahaprabhu goes into the inner chambers where the dead son is lying on the floor, and he says, son, why did you die? And at that time, the little boy, the dead body, awakes, and he has a conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the conversation is very philosophical, and he says how the body and the soul come together by the will of God, and the soul and body depart by the will of God. And who is really my mother, my father, my friend, my lover? It is always my Lord, because he's the only eternal relationship that I have. And then he went back eternally. That body went back to sleep, and he went on to Vaikuntha. And then everybody, the women, Srivas Thakur, everybody was pacified. And Mahaprabhu produced that pastime to again show how It's through transcendental knowledge that we can overcome the grief and sorrow of having lost somebody. What to speak of Srivastava's own son, and is it Malini's son? So that was another example. And then there's also an example of Srila Prabhupada in relationship to his own beloved spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In a Lila Amrita, I remember reading how Srila Prabhupada cried and wept after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left his body. But then after doing some research, I found a few notes that Srila Prabhupada also said later on to his disciples, which I just wanted to share with you. So in 1970 in Surat, he says, the devotee is also dying and the non-devotee, sinful man, is also dying. What is the difference? Just like a cat can hold a rat in its mouth, bitten by its teeth, it can also hold its cubs. For the rat, it is feeling the pangs of death. And for the cub, it is feeling the mother's comfort. Similarly, at the time of death, the devotee's feeling that they are being transferred to the Vaikuntha, whereas the ordinary sinful man is feeling that the constables of Yamaraj, the Dutas, are dragging him to the hellish condition of life. So one should not conclude simply by seeing he is dying, as the women in Srivasangam were seeing. No. The process is different. Janma karma che me divyam, 4.9 Gita. As Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are spiritual, transcendental, they are not ordinary things. Similarly, Lord Krishna's devotee, his representative, or her, who is sent to this material world for preaching the glories of Lord Krishna, their appearance and disappearance is also like Krishna's. Therefore, according to Vaishnava principles, the appearance and disappearance of Vaishnavas is considered all auspicious. Therefore, we hold such festivals. And then in another lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, the sunrise and the sunset, both are beautiful. Similarly, both the appearance and the disappearance of a Vaishnava are beautiful. So there is no cause of lamentation. Although we feel the separation, that feeling is there. But spiritually, there is no difference between appearance and disappearance. So now if we can bring all of these together, and in relationship to the bhajan of Narottam Das Thakur, Jayanilo, on one hand we feel the separation of the relationship that was there, the association. And many of us now can also reflect on the departed Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, Mother Kalangana being the most recent. We can reflect that there's some separation. And in Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan, a deep, deep, deep separation. But on the other side, there's a festival that they've gone back to the spiritual world, to their eternal relationship. And for Mother Kalangana, she's not only made sweets for Janmashtami, she's now making it for Radhashtami and all of everyday festival. So there's the two sides. There's the separation of the relationship, and there's the joy that now they don't have to be surrounded by the miseries of this material world, and that they're fully back into their eternal constitutional position, which is the only position where you can fully, truly enjoy being as an eternal servant of Krishna. So I wanted to share an experience I had with my spiritual master, Kadambakarna Swami, where in February last year, he was staying at our house, and we were downstairs in the kitchen. Sutapa Prabhu was there, and at that time he was telling us of how he was going to Mumbai to have something checked in his excretory kind of system to do with piles. And we was laughing about it. Remember? It was just laughing about the kind of investigation, .. And then a week later, I get an email saying that he's got cancer and he's going for a major operation and he's asking for prayers from the devotees. So I was completely, I was torn up completely, like I'd never experienced before. And yeah, I broke down crying. I cried in between a procedure with a patient. I had my mask on, and I was just crying, and it fell on their head because the patient's face is there underneath me. And I said, I'm really sorry, and I stopped the appointment, and I just stopped the morning clinic. And it was very difficult because I didn't know if that was it, if the spiritual master was dying. Then we had the good fortune that his spiritual master, Jayadvaita Swami, was flying through London. And Jayadvaita Swami very compassionately arranged a darshan for the disciples of Kadambakarna Swami upstairs in Srila Prabhupada's room. You were there? You can go over there, right? Yeah. And to give us some counsel, as is Mahaprabhu doing, as King Alexander did to his generals, and as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did to Srivast Thakur's family. And I asked Jayadvaita Swami with a grave heart, I said, Maharaj, how do I deal with the departure of, you know, the spiritual master? It's just like so weird. And by some fortune, I feel very close to my spiritual master on a physical level and an emotional level. And Jayadvaita Swami said, there is no departure of the spiritual master. And he started telling us of what Srila Prabhupada was instructing them in Vrindavan in 1977, the difference between Vani and Vapu. And he explained how, in a very caring way, going back to how Mahaprabhu took on the role of an ordinary man in front of Sachimata, it's about showing the person that you care alongside giving them the knowledge. And Jayadvaita Swami, I'd never seen him so, like, emotional, shall we say. He was very, very soft and very, very gentle and very, like, understanding of the delicacy of these immature disciples, because it was all a young bunch. Sutapa wasn't there. And he was telling us about the difference between Vani and Vapu, and how, although we have to take advantage of the spiritual master's presence and the ability to personally serve, we should be more focused and more attached to the instructions that come from that service and from their general discourse. The benefit of Vapu, physical service, is that you get more instructions. Really, the whole point is to get the Vani. And then, driving home, and at night time, I couldn't sleep and I kept thinking about it. And then I came to the realization, I'm attached to my spiritual master's body. And I'm attached to my body. And I'm fearful that when one of the two go, one of the two bodies go, that's going to be the end of our relationship. Now Kadambakarna Swami is completely healthy, he's clear of cancer, and he's jumping and dancing in South Africa. You can go on YouTube and see the video. So he's back up and fired up. But the event had a big impact in my life, where I moved away from just wanting to be around my spiritual master to wanting my spiritual master to go inside of me. And I can't put his body inside of me, but I can put his love and his, like, legacy and his instructions into my heart. And this means gravity, this means becoming sober. And so it was through the gravity that came from this experience that I found it very interesting that I kept saying no to Nandan to give in class. And then when he said this one, I thought, actually, I'll do this one. Although it's Saturday CC class and I'm embarrassed, I wanted to do this because I had that experience with Maharaj last year. And so maybe all of us share this experience where we've lost somebody. I'm looking around, I know many of you, and I know a lot of you have lost people you've cared for. But we have to, as a community of sadhakas, help each other to become more sober. We live in a very passionate city, London. We always want to have fun. We are fun-seeking entities by nature. But the gravity that comes through transcendental knowledge can help us deal with the imminent and undeniable facts of life, death, old age, and disease. And so we can take shelter of each other's association at those times, but we also have to develop that soberness and gravity to be able to help others when it happens to them. And I felt, reflecting on my time when I went to that death program, it actually turned out quite weird because I gave the class, everyone was happy, went upstairs, and then upstairs was the mother, father, and the auntie, and they told me that the girl didn't die, she committed suicide. And I was like, whoa, I have to go home. I just couldn't deal with it. It was like way too much. I didn't know what to say, how to comfort them. But these things, as preachers, we have to be ready to deal with. We have to be ready to not only know the knowledge, but to have enough gravity to be able to give them the knowledge, but to be also to not be affected and to be personal. Does that make sense? And I like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt with his mother, as described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. It shows that we are a personal movement, not just a preaching movement. And it's the two that go hand in hand together that make effects. And any Srila Prabhupada disciples, I don't know if there's any here today, but they always felt that Srila Prabhupada was so personal. And really, a lot of them joined because they loved Halva and they loved Srila Prabhupada. The instructions, they didn't quite understand it. I remember Bhavananda Prabhu saying he just didn't understand a word Prabhupada was saying at the beginning. It's like, it's this deep Bengali accent. But he just loved the way that Prabhupada walked. He loved his swagger. He loved his regalness. He loved all of these things. He loved how Prabhupada was so kind and polite. And he said, I just want to be like Prabhupada. And then he understood the instructions. So I'll conclude with a couple of points. One is that when we are preaching or sharing knowledge with others, we should remain sober. So we should really understand that knowledge ourselves. It's not a matter of just like learning it and regurgitating it. And that we need to be personal. People are not going to change unless they feel that we care for them. And I see this in some of the preachers that I'm looking at now, that they're making big impact in devotees' lives because devotees genuinely feel that they care for them. Number two is that we should reflect on the temporality of our acquisitions and our relationships and then start reflecting and thinking, how much am I investing on my temporary relationships compared to my eternal relationships and the example of the material and spiritual bank accounts. And then thirdly, in relationship to our spiritual master, be that our Diksha Guru or our Shiksha Guru or Srila Prabhupada, how deep is our relationship with them? How much is based on the body? How much is based on them entering the heart as their instructions? And I can tell you, hand on heart, it's quite shocking when you feel the spiritual master is going to leave. And I was utterly embarrassed of how shallow the relationship was for my part. And I'm now trying to mature it. And I pray for your blessings that that does mature. Now, just with a few, we've got 10 minutes left. I just wanted to share a couple of anecdotes from the life of Jiva Goswami and of Vamanadev. Just one thing from each, just to honor their festivals. So from the story of Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev, in the 8th canto, I liked, when I was studying this a few years ago, I made a note of chapter 22, verse 29 to 30. And I like how Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport. So if, with your permission, if I can just read this. Is that okay? Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments, this was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test. But for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. So I like that, but in relating that to the verse today and the topic today, is it coincidence that when I thought my spiritual master was leaving the world, leaving me alone, that his spiritual master, Jayadvaita Swami, was flying through London? Was it coincidence that Jayadvaita Swami had the availability to give a darshan to us disciples who were in grief? Krishna always gives us, Krishna will always test us, but he'll always give a sincere devotee, not that I was, maybe the other disciples were and I just happened to get the good luck of being in London. But he always gives the sincere devotee enough strength to tolerate the adversity. And I like that very much because I see that in the example of other devotees. I mean, for instance, Mother Kalangana was undergoing so much pain. Karuna Ras Prabhu was telling us, her doctor, so much pain, but then she was always able to get enough strength just to tolerate that, to be fixed in Srila Prabhupada's instructions, Bhagavad Katha, Sadhu Sangha, and hearing Srila Prabhupada's japa. Also, Kadam Karnamaj recently was glorifying His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami. He said, how can a dancer lose his leg? That's the worst thing that could have happened to him. Bhaktitirtha Swami, the ISKCON's eternal dancer, he lost his leg. But Krishna gave him enough strength to tolerate that adversity that through his whole preaching life, he was bringing people to Krishna. And at the time of death, he was doing the same thing. He was bringing everyone together and he was building a community then. So Krishna always gives a sincere devotee the enough strength to tolerate adversity. And Vamanadev did that to Bali Maharaj. So Vamanadev Bhagwan ki. In relationship to Srila Jiva Goswami, and I was trying to arrange to bring, one of my friends has one of his beads from his Japamala to bring that here today, but unfortunately it didn't work out. Sorry. I look at Sutapa, when I look at Sutapa I remember my spiritual master, but I also remember book distribution. And Jiva Goswami was the first person who started book distribution. It said that he scribed with a metal stylus into palm leaves 500,000 verses in Sanskrit. And the Benares Hindu University have dedicated a whole degree to studying Jiva Goswami's works. Jiva Goswami ordered Srinivas, Narottam, and Shamananda, his three students, to take the work from Vrindavan into Bengal and distribute it. And in this way, book distribution started. So for all of us that do Sankirtan, book distribution, today we can pray to Jiva Goswami, just like he inspired and instructed the three great devotees to spread the written knowledge, i.e. the books, to the devotees in Bengal, that we pray to him to give us the inspiration, the determination, and the patience to be able to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books to the people of this world that are investing too much into their temporary relationships and losing sight of any eternal relationship. So with that, we've got about 5 minutes. If anyone has any comments